what we miss and understand something is that how many of you know about songs that are sung about Joseph? No? No, there wasn't a song, Joseph, did you know? No? Is there a song about Joseph on how he had to always care for her? No, Joseph is the one that's the unsung hero. Joseph is the one that he went ahead and he did something on behalf of what was told to him in a dream. And Joseph stood his ground. And he stayed close to his fiance after the angel came to him and said, you know what, don't put her out. This is exactly what you're to do. This is of me. And Joseph stayed by Mary's side. But we have everybody singing songs about Mary. Well, where was Joseph? How many of you heard the story about the wise men that came? How many are there? How many wise men were there? It never said that. Three gifts were presented, but there was never said how many wise men. The Magi were following a star. And they began to follow a sign in the sky, did they not? And that sign was something that said, the Messiah is born. And they went on a journey looking for Jesus. So did they get there at the birth of Jesus when he was a baby? No, it was 2 years later. 2 years later. And the story is always told about the baby in a manger. And then we come and we go and spend time with Jesus in a manger. But the reality is the Magi were on a journey looking for Jesus. How many of you have had your gifts that you want to bring and present to Jesus, but it's taking you some time? It's taking some time. Doesn't always happen right away. Your journey is a long journey. They didn't jump in their hoopties. They didn't jump in their trucks, their 4x4s, or their buggies out in the sand dunes. They had to walk and get to where they needed to go. It took them 2 years to get there to the baby Jesus. So was he no longer a baby? He was actually a child. So the child, they presented the gifts. So we have a lot of stories, Christmas stories, and all kinds of different things talked about the birth of Jesus. But I want you to think about one thing that I want to ask you. How many of you remember 9/11? Raise your hand. So everybody in here remembers 9/11, right? Was it not tragic? So how come the calendar didn't change from that day forward? Or what about when JFK was shot? How many were JFK? You remember that? How come the calendars didn't change when JFK was shot? Or what about this? Do you remember when the shuttle went up and it exploded? Okay. How come calendars and stuff weren't changed? I'm just trying to tell you is that when Jesus was born, it was a mark that changed history forever. Not just for people that believed. It changed the course of life forever for everyone. Everyone. And it's something that we misunderstand. Can you go back in time and remember the day that Jesus came into your life? That's when things begin to change for you. You understand? You guys can go ahead and take your seats. Thank you very much. Give them a hand. Give them a hand. A little different than what we have done in the past. We always do the beautiful scenes, but had a comment that was made to us. Y'all always do things that are rough. You should have seen them when they came to rehearse. There was no tables here, so they were all over the place. They were rough. But I asked Will to do a poem for me concerning the unsung hero, Joseph. And I want him to read it to you, and then I'll begin my message.
Sorry, I'm still a little from all that. Understand my struggle. Understand my pain. They think I am insane because I walk with a woman whose child is not mine. Miracle conception or deception? These thoughts plague my mind daily. I pray to thee, give me strength. Holy angel, give me a sign. Show me if I must make this endeavor mine. I did not leave her side, and I took her along for the ride. To Bethlehem we embarked, for the census we must be marked. I did what I needed to, without the slightest complaint. No one was there when Mary was feeling faint. Walking by day and deep into the night, no light but the stars in the sky. On the cold hard dirt we would lie. I'd hold her close through the freezing nights. For her and that child, I would fight. I would give my life to have their destinies fulfilled. I do not need recognition, no song sung in my name. I do not desire fame. My mission was to aid in the birth of a king, the Messiah of Jesus Christ, no matter the adversity. Some say I'm a hero. No. All I did was obey the command given unto me.
Thank you. Short notice, and he came through. I texted him last night. I said, Will, can you do a poem for me? He says, Well, in what direction? I said, The unsung hero, Joseph. He says, Well, give me some clarity. What do you? And then I just, a couple words I sent him, and then he put it all together. Beautiful. 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 I want to read a few scriptures. And I will go into my message so we can get to some good food that's about to be served. We will also have some gifts that will be distributed out. We'll have a wonderful Saint Nick, some elves, some goodies been given. But I want you, if you would, if you have your Bibles, if not, it's okay. I know this is a little bit different, unorthodox to have it with you during this time. But it is Sunday. It is Sunday. It's in Matthew 1, verse 18 through 25 out of the NIV. If you're there, say amen. Matthew 1, verse 18. Matthew 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to the public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you that it speaks volumes and it speaks beyond the realm of the natural and speaks into the supernatural realm. Father, I thank you that your words came from the inspired words of the Holy Spirit to be penned by the ready writers of your precious children that you have called your disciples. Father, I thank you that they wrote in their word, Father God, everything to be true and accurate. I thank you that every lying spirit that has tried to make this a lie has always proved itself to be true. Father, I thank you for your word that stands forever and that first you gave your word to us, which was Jesus Christ. And all of God's children said, amen. We saw a brief reenactment of Mary and Joseph. Y'all know they would go to the inns. They would go and look for some place so they could have a baby, and no one accepted them. There was no room in the inn. There was no room anywhere, and they just kept saying no, no, no. But the reality is, how many times has Jesus come to you and you're saying no? How many times are you saying no to Jesus when he's trying to get into that area of your life that he wants to bring healing and wholeness to? What is the first thing that is said? I'm not going to go to church until I get it right first. Have y'all heard that before? How many of us use that excuse? Well, when I get things together, I'll go to church. Because if I go to church, it's going to burn down. Or if I go to church, the Lord's going to strike me down right there. Well, there ain't nobody going to be alive. We all have our issues. We all have our faults. But the beautiful thing is Jesus came so that he could wipe away our sins. Did he not? Isn't that what he said right here? the angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph in a dream that you shall call him Emmanuel and give him a name Jesus because he will wipe away the sins of the people. That's a very, very strong promise about your boy. How many fathers in here have a boy in their life and lineage? Raise your hand. Boy. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. All right. That's my boy, right? That's my boy. When he does good things, that's my boy. Well, how about mama? That's my mijo. Raise your hand. That's my mijo. That's my baby right there. That's my baby. Now you know that Jesus is gonna be a child that is gonna take away the sins of the world. That's what it said. God spoke to him in a dream. Not only that, but confirmed it through the prophets that were written thousands of years before he ever came. So you know this is something because they all knew the scrolls of Isaiah, and Isaiah prophesied them coming, that Jesus would come. So now Joseph is hearing what has been written about Jesus, and Joseph here, well, this is going to be Emmanuel, God with us. How many of you would kind of get a little shaken in your boots a little bit if you had that kind of salutation from God concerning you? Now, we know the story about Mary, that an angel comes to Mary and tells Mary, you have found favor with the Lord, and you shall conceive a child. Now, Mary was only a teenager. Isn't it strange that they say that Jesus came from Bethlehem? Huh? Or that he was a Nazarene. Remember when they said that? He's a Nazarene. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Huh? Do you know why they said that? Can anything good come out of Las Vegas? Well, did y'all miss that? When you think of Las Vegas, what do you think about? Sin City. What about Nineveh? Huh? It was Sin City, right? And they were crucifying people, and they were just all kinds of craziness. So when they said that, can anything good come out of Nazareth? He was a Nazarene. What they were saying is, you came from a city full of sin. You understand that? Can you put yourself in a place where thinking that Jesus, the Messiah, coming from Vegas, he came from Vegas. Came from Vegas. You understand? But what about this? Mary and Joseph lived in Vegas. My question to you is, even after the angel came and said, Mary, you have found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Favor. How many of you can actually put yourself in a position where you're around so many sinners, it is just so vile, it's so ugly, so disgusting, but yet you have to be good? Are you hearing that? Huh? Maybe you missed it because you didn't get your coffee and your donuts and it's a little strange for you today. Go to Vegas and you hear all those cling, 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 cling. And then you see all the lights because you don't hit a jackpot, right? Right. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's some good stuff right there. Cling, 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 cling. Well, if you're gambling, you can have a free drink. Well, I'll just stay on this machine and then just have my free drink. I don't have to spend no money on that. Just put my money in. Well, you know what? All of a sudden now you get caught up. And then you realize that when you're in the casino, you can stay up all night. And you don't even realize it because they pump so much oxygen into there to keep you awake. Oh, some of y'all haven't been to Vegas? Pastor, this ain't no Christmas story. What you talking about Vegas? I'm just trying to tell you, you can get suckered into doing everything around you just like they are. But how is it that Mary and Joseph didn't? See, what I'm trying to tell you is that God came into this world and he chose someone out of a sinful city to bring forth purity into this world. Are you missing the point? God is saying that I'm not looking for someone that is perfect. I'm looking for someone that is willing just to live amongst everybody, but yet be different. Don't confound to the world. Don't be just like everybody else. Just because they're over there dropping it like it's hot, it don't mean you got to. No, they don't want to hear this, Jaden. They don't want to hear it, Jaden. They don't. Now, you know, I'm just trying to tell you is that God came into a sinful place, and he chose someone out of a sinful city to bear forth a child that was holy and knew no sin. Isn't that pretty amazing? Or is it just me that thinks that's kind of strange? You would think that he would go into the temple amongst the high priests and choose someone working as a servant of the temple to carry Jesus. But he didn't. He chose someone just like you and me to carry Jesus. How many of you are born again Christians and you know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior? Raise your hand. He chose you. What are you carrying? If you were here Wednesday, I preached a message on what are you wearing? Now my question to you is, what are you carrying? What are you carrying? Are you carrying the message of Jesus Christ and hope? Or just Jesus Christ, the story? What are you carrying? See, he's trying to get to us to understand that Jesus is the reason he was sent into this world, is to save us from ourselves. Our sinful nature, the nature of the sin of our forefathers. Don't get it all twisted. Don't mean you're going to be all holy and righteous and you're not going to have no sin. No, it's all around you. And there's struggles. How many of you struggle with it? Okay. We struggle. We all struggle with it. But he paid the price for you. So that this way, you don't have to pay the price for the sin. He paid it for you. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Now, I have my boy. Then I have my daughter. I have my wife. How many have loved ones that you would die for? Oh, yeah. You would die for your loved ones, wouldn't you? You would really go out on a limb and say, I am not letting anybody come and touch my precious loved ones, right? Well, let's go back to Joseph. We hear all the stories about Mary, that we even have religions worship Mary. She's a wonderful, wonderful saint of God, chosen of God. But what about Joseph? My question is, how many times do we feel like we've been overlooked? We've been overlooked? Like the story goes on, but ain't nobody talking about you. Songs are being sung, but it ain't sung about you. Not that we want to make a name for ourselves so that everybody writes a song about us. The Lord knows what the lyrics would be like. I'm just saying. It's just all. We don't know what the song would say. But Joseph begins to raise his boy. He begins to raise his son the only way he knows how to raise his son. He was a carpenter. So as you read, that Jesus was a carpenter. He took up the trade of the father, that it was his stepfather, but began to just watch and do everything his father Joseph did. They knew that this was the Christ, but it goes on for years and he hadn't done no miracles yet. How many of us received the word from God, but we ain't seen nothing produced yet? Am I talking to church folks in here? Am I talking to some sinners? Because God speaks. Oh, he speaks all right. Are you willing to listen? If you're listening, maybe he's spoken something into your spirit concerning your future, where you're going, what you're about to do, but yet you haven't seen it come to pass. Well, they said that this is the one that's going to take away the sins of the world. Didn't say when, didn't say how old he was going to be, didn't say how it was going to be done either, did he? Word never said. They had scripture saying that he would be hung on a tree. So they knew there was something there, but they didn't quite understand what that meant. We have Jesus in our life, but we don't quite understand because we get so focused on everything else around us. We get so focused on the things in the season that is really not the real reason for it. And we need to understand that Jesus came in so he can help you with some of the issues in our life. And every single one of us have them. There's nobody that's exempt. And I don't know anybody that can say, I'm without sin. Because the moment that you say that, you just committed it. Do you understand? It's true. It's just true. But I can remember when Jesus came into my life. And it changed the course of my life to this very day and to my eternity. I go be with the Father. Not everybody knows. Maybe not everybody's had an encounter. But I ask you, are you willing to let him come into your life? Are you truly willing to let him come into your life? And if you're willing, he'll speak, he'll touch, and he'll transform your life. Amen? Here's what I want to share with you that I believe was very interesting. That it's found in second chapter of Luke, verse 41. And I believe this is where we have been as a body for quite some time concerning Jesus. Now, these are the parents of Jesus as he's already growing. He becomes 12 years old, and the Gospel of Luke reads like this. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in the company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Have we lost sight of Jesus? Have we gotten so busy with tradition, as Scripture says, so busy with tradition that we lose sight of Jesus? There was a story that was on the news the other day that the father went to Black Friday and he went to go get this awesome TV. He was so excited about getting the TV, he forgot that he took his daughter with him and left his daughter there. True story. True story. Are we losing sight of the fact what it really is about? We can't make it about the gifts. We got to make it about the gift giver. Jesus' parents, they went there as an accustomed, that they went there every year. How is it that you can lose sight of your child? The Christ, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, God with us, that will take away all the sins of the world, but you're going to lose them and not even know it a day later. Does that make any sense to you? Does this resonate with anybody? How many of you have been to Disney World? Raise your hand. Disney World. You've been to Disney World, Disneyland. How about Kitty Park? We've been to Kitty Park here? Brackenridge Park? Okay, you know, I'm just trying to say. And you take your kids with you. How about you leave your kids there? Not purposely. Stop it. Stop it. Not purposely. By accident. Don't go over there and go drop them off. That's not what I'm talking about. Say, I got a Christmas party to go to. I'm going to leave you here. I'll be back in a bit. No. I'm talking about, would you leave your kid behind? No, because before you get in the car, 1, 2, 3, 15, 28, 30. Everybody's here. Right? And if you're like our family, every child is named after somebody in the Bible. Like most Christians, everybody that has a child has a name of somebody in the Bible. So it's a Bible. Come on. Right? Bible. And everybody looks at what? Well, if I call Michael, they got Michael, Joseph, Joshua, Hannah. So everybody starts turning around because everybody wants to name their child, you know, something biblical. But you take notice of like, boy, are you coming with me? You need to come with me, boy. You know it's time to go. You got school tomorrow. You got to come home with me now. Don't even give me an attitude. Put that iPod away. Did you see what the Scripture says? What? What are you doing in treating your parents this way? We've been anxious looking for you. We've been looking for you. Question is, where was your eye not on him to begin with? Did you get so caught up in the festival that, you know, that you forgot about your son? That was given to you not by your own, but by God? Huh? Are we getting that busy? Huh? So I know Christmas is coming up, but I usually work about 40 hours. But if I put in extra time, I work about 60 hours, 63, maybe 63. I'll be able to get this, and that. I might pay a little bit more taxes on it, but I'm going to be able to get what I wanted. We get so caught up about the gifts. Lord forbid you forgot somebody. You go down your checklist, don't you? You go right down your checklist. So-and-so, so got this, so socks, chonies, undershirts. Don't get pastor a tie. Coffee for a pastor. Okay. Got that. But then you forgot that one individual. And that's the one that's going to make all the ruckus. You forgot me? What am I, chopped liver? Well, I don't get a gift. No, yours is so big, it's on the way. It's on the way. I couldn't fit it in the car. It's on the way. I didn't forget about it. Yours is bigger. The best is for last. So the next day, Christmas day, you're, I got to find something. Hopefully somebody's returning the thing that you wanted to get, but you forgot to get it, but then you get it after it comes back. See, am I talking to some real folks in here? Or how about this? We get so caught up in the festival, that we miss out on even praying before we eat. These were Jewish holidays that they would travel to get to. And they didn't realize it till a day later, Jaden. Now that's a little strange. It's a little strange, Inez, don't you think? Don't you think it's a little strange that you would notice that your own son or daughter wasn't there nagging? I mean, asking for food. Mommy, are we there yet? Mommy, are we there? Mom, are we almost there? Mom, are we there? Mom, can I spend the night, Mom? Mom, can I stay here? Mom, I don't like this. Can I have something different? They don't have no Whataburger? Do they have onions in it? No, I don't want that. Mom, thirsty. Mom, thirsty. Mom, cold. Mom, hot. Mom, these shoes are, I told you not to get these shoes, they're hurt. They're my Sunday shoes and I don't like them. Some of y'all were here Wednesday, wouldn't understand. Mom, don't you think it's a little strange? Or how about this one, yo, mommy, I'm hungry. Mommy, I'm hungry. Mom, hungry. Mom, hungry. Hungry. Y'all don't have children like that? Yeah, y'all don't have children like that, right? Because y'all also have the halo, right? Y'all got saints. Y'all got saints. Well, how about the one, Mom, I need my charger. Did you bring my charger? Did you bring my charger, Mom? And they're just trying to get to the festival. Did you charge the camera? Did you charge the camera? I'm just trying to tell you, we're going to the festival. We've been here for 12 years, boy. You know we're coming over here. Now, come on. Now, put on your Sunday shoes. And when we get there, you better stay close to me. I'm going to go get my groove on. I'm going to go get my food. You better stay close to me. They serve the best things at this booth over here. Come on. You got gefilte fish. This flatbread over here, it's the best. See, what I'm trying to tell you is this is a festival they went to every year. And this festival got to the point that how many of us say, well, none of this has come to pass. This ain't nothing special about this child. Maybe I miss God. 12 years, Mary. 12 years. Boy don't even look like me. Who is this Emmanuel? Who is Emmanuel? Why Emmanuel? You don't look like me. Christ with us. God with us. Ain't seen nothing yet. Oh, he's very polite. Very polite. Always cleans his room. Always makes his bed, washes his own clothes, catches an enormous amount of fish all the time. And when we don't have enough, it just seems to just show up, okay? But that's, I guess it's typical. I haven't seen nothing of sins yet because I know my nature and it hasn't gone. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Can you imagine what Joseph was going through, looking at precious Mary as a young child, says, I will not marry you until after you give birth. So I'm going to trust this thing that I heard to be God. The same angel that came to you spoke to me. Not only that, it was a little strange that your relative over there, Elizabeth, had a child at her old age. You're a young age. But her boy's a little on the crazy side. He's out there eating locusts and stuff. He's always out there in the wilderness. I don't understand your family, and I don't understand what's going on. I don't even want to go over there and break bread. Are you hearing what I'm saying? A lot is not written in the Bible, but you got to think about it in the nature that they were at, is that Joseph was an older man, and she was a young teenager. And this society nowadays would be a little bit different now, right? Yeah, it'd be a little bit different. But back then it was traditional. It's not strange. And that Joseph would be the one that would care for her, nurture her, and raise her up. But then what happens is what happens when Jesus begins to go out and he begins to do all these miracles, you no longer hear about Joseph, do you? Joseph, the unsung hero. Joseph. But I believe Joseph is a representation that the Holy Spirit is always there. Always there with you. Sheltering, covering you, going with you, protecting you, guarding you, and telling others, don't touch my son. Don't come near. Because that's my child. That's my child. Because it's my child. Do the best of my ability to raise this child right. But if things get a little crazy that I don't understand, I just go to the Father. And then I begin to see it manifest in the Son. Then I know something's right and something was true. Don't get caught up in the festivals. Don't get caught up in all of your Christmas parties. Don't get caught up in all the sales. Because Black Friday will turn into Black and Blue Friday. You get bruised up. I saw a taser gun get pulled out. Always remember that the real reason for the season is Jesus. Jesus. It is Jesus. Now, the Magi, were they not following a star? Wasn't it a star? They saw a star from the east. East represents a new day. A new day, a new era had begun when the Christ was born. That they even came, and for the next couple of weeks before Christmas, I'm going to continue to teach you on the different things, on how every time this season comes around, there's always war. It's even written in Revelation. There's enmity, there's war. That's why you have so many people that they can't get what they want, they get angry. They get all upset. They get, man, I'm not even talking about the kids. I'm just talking about people not getting what they want to get. The reality is we had a king that didn't want to lose his position to send out a decree to kill all the young baby boys 2 years and younger. It's not strange that you see a lot of suicides take place during this time. A lot of depression. A lot of drunken drivers getting killed. It's all written in the book of Revelation, and I'll share with you later about it. But what I want to tell you is a star came into the sky to signify that Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, was born. The same sky, the firmament, also announced his death, did it not? That when Jesus gave up the ghost, the sky turned black and not even the sun would shine. That's to show you that God created the heavens and the earth. He will announce the birth of his son, and he will announce the death of his son. He created the heavens and the earth, the star in the east, and the darkness that is death. But now the light resides in you. Can you look back in the course of your life and say, I remember when Jesus came into my life. He came into my life and he changed me. He changed my ways. He changed my perception about me. and my perception about him. And if you don't know whether or not you've had that type of encounter, now is the time to ask him to do it. Now is that time. God wants to get you to that place in him that you know that he is real. Real. Manifested presence of God. Where he can feel his presence, feel his joy, understand his grace and his mercy, his resurrection power that resides in you. And that's what he wants to show you. That's what he wants to show you. If you've never accepted him into your life as your personal Lord and Savior, now's a good time. So the only thing you've got to do is to confess with your mouth and believe with your heart. That's it. That he is Christ, the Son of God, who died on the cross, was buried, but on the third day rose again. If you believe that, Scripture says that your soul is saved. That your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what the Bible says. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe that when you die, you go to heaven? You're not in no purgatory. You're not out there wandering around until you get in. When you die, this body, this flesh, goes to the ground. But your spirit and your soul go up to be with the Father who created you. Immediate. Jesus hung on the cross between two thieves. He was chosen in a city full of sin. Chosen. Came to be birthed through sin to be hung on a cross between two sinners. So that when he looked to the right and looked to the left and saw everybody else ridiculing him and just saying that you should kill him, destroy him. He looked unto the Father and prayed to the Father and said, forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. Forgive them. That's a good Savior we have. Good Savior. Make sure it's coming through there. The Savior that we have is on the cross, that even the sinner, the thief, says, I'm the one that we did wrong. We have the right to be here. They actually judged this correctly for us to be on the cross. But this man has done nothing wrong. This man truly is who he says he is. That Jesus looks over to him and says, Today, you will be with me in paradise. Today. Because he believed. He didn't have a chance to go and confess. He just believed. Isn't that wonderful? But yet, how can we forget about our Savior and make it so commercialized about everything else? He was denied in places where he couldn't even be born. He had to go into the manger. It's not pretty. We make it pretty, but it's not pretty. How many of you would like to be born in amongst the dung, the poop? No, you wouldn't want to. He came from sin, born out of a city of sin, born in the midst of everything, but yet he was a king. A king. We can't have kings and royalty right now do what Jesus did because they wouldn't allow it. They wouldn't want to. But Jesus did it. He came low to lift you up high. That's what he did. Let's not lose sight of Jesus because of the festivals, because of tradition. Because you know we're going to have tamales and we'll just forget about it. Let's just eat because I'm hungry. Let's just forget about Jesus because there's some salsa and some chips and some queso. Let's just forget about Jesus because there's buñuelos and pastries and coffee. Let's just forget about Jesus because everything else is more important than Jesus. We need to understand that He is truly that reason. And He came for you. He came for you. I want you to close your eyes, if you would, please, as Josh is playing. I want you to reflect back on the time that you asked Jesus into your life. I want you to treasure that. That very moment when He entered in. Whether you were at a church service, a retreat, a marriage retreat, a singles retreat, or maybe you were at camp, or maybe you were just on your living room floor, your bedroom, or even in a vehicle, when you asked Jesus to enter into your heart because you believed. Things didn't change immediately, but your name was written in His book, the eternal book, that gives account that you get to enter in to the pearly gates of heaven and be in the presence of the throne of Jesus Christ. When you invited Him into your heart because you believed, that very moment, you became born again. A born-again believer, not a religious person, not a religion, but a believer. How can you be born again? By believing in Jesus Christ. And once you believe in Jesus Christ, He has entered in whole into your precious life. He has given you the fullness of His presence, His Holy Spirit, to guide you, teach you, lead you, guard you, protect you, give you a way of escape in times that you make choices. But that very nature of Jesus Christ that lives inside of you gives you the right to enter to those pearly gates and to stand before Him for eternity. That is the Jesus that you've asked to enter into your heart. Now is a good time to reflect on that. To understand that that gift that was given because of you as an individual. His Son came into this earth, and it was announced by a star. And if you look to the center of your table, you will see that there's a red star. On top of a tree, the tree was used as a representation in the cross. That everyone that is cursed be hung on a cross. He was adorned with gifts in the beginning to the day that He went on, because the Father was with Him. But when He felt to be alone on the cross, He cried the same cry as David cried. Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? The same cry that was written in Psalms, He cried the same cry. But now that Jesus went to be with the Father, He is always at your side. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He will always be with you. Please hold that very true to your heart and cherish it, because it's a precious gift that the Father in heaven has given to you. Amen. Our Father, I want to bless each and every individual that is here in this house. I want to thank you for them and bless them from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, that we won't pass you by, we won't forget about you, and we won't get caught up in tradition. We'll always understand that what you have in store for us is the greater good and the greater cause for your Son Jesus. We carry good news. We wear the good news. We're wearing Him. I thank you, Father, for the blessing that is upon us today. And as we break bread today, Father, I thank you for the hands that prepared it. And I thank you that the food will be nourishment to our mind, body, spirit, and soul. And I thank you this day will be a day of celebration and a day that we can celebrate you and our fellowship together as family. I bless them from the crown of the head to the soles of their feet. I thank you that this year is a year of new beginnings. How they enter is how they exit. How they exit is also how they enter. We leave 2013 blessed to enter 2014, bless. So, Father, I thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give Jesus a hand clap. Give Jesus a hand clap. All right, David, can we make sure we have tithes and offering envelopes handed out? As mom, can you get some helpers back to make sure we're ready to go with food? We're going to hand out tithes and offering envelopes. Don't forget, when you come into the house of God, you bring some goods. You bring an offering. Your tithe is your 10% that it goes to the house of God. Anything above that is your offering. Your tithe is where God has called you to be, where you receive your nurturing from the word of God, that God has called a shepherd to shepherd you. Release your tithe into the house. Release your tithe to what God tells you to do. Your offering is anything above your 10%. Play us something, sir. Play us something. Hallelujah. Thank you, Josh. If you have your offering and your tithes and offering ready, lift it up before the Lord as a wave offering. Father, I thank you for the ability to sow into the kingdom of God. I thank you, Lord, that you have blessed our fields. You have blessed our jobs. You have blessed our family. You have blessed our homes, Father. And Father, I thank you that my pantry is full. I thank you that my refrigerator and my freezer are full. Father, I thank you that my spirit is full. My destiny shall be fulfilled. And Father, I thank you that my house shall remain blessed. We have and live in victory. So Lord, I just thank you right now as we sow into the kingdom of God, Lord, that you receive it as incense of worship unto you. And Father, I thank you that as we give, Lord, we become just like you. For you gave your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. And as we release and give back unto you, Father, I thank you that your words are true. That you said, prove me, test me this to see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing that there's not enough room for you to contain it. That you, Father, will rebuke the devourer for our sake. Father, I thank you in advance for your word to be true forever. And I thank you that this day is a day that we can mark and say we have moved forward in you, God, and that we will always keep our eyes on you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's children said, amen. You may come and serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Can you check and see if they're ready back there? All right, this is what we're going to do. Miss Sylvia, let's make sure we have tea in that one right there. We have the glass one. Okay, okay. All right, what we're going to do is we're going to go by the back rows first. And these back rows, we're going to come to the back. Go ahead and prop that door open right there, please. And back in the children's rooms is where the buffet is. Miss Lou, Mama Lou, do we have tamales? Someone serving the tamales? Okay. That was quick. That was quick. I like that. All right. Now, we have drinks that are over here. We have coffee. We have tea. We have unsweet tea as well. Okay. When you get your plate, they're making room, so you're going to do a circle around, okay? You'll come through my office and then come back out. And then when these tables arise, we're going to move them forward a little bit so we have some room to kind of move throughout, okay? We had to make some room in here for us to do their skit, but now we'll make room for us to eat, okay? So if you would, in the back rows, go ahead and take your positions over there in the hallway so you can get your food, your drinks, your cups, and your silverware on the table. Okay, Josh, go get the box, Josh.
When we finally kiss goodnight.